about last Sunday, buddy? Hey, can you remember what I preached on last Sunday? Burn it up. Amen. Amen. That's all he kept saying was burn it up. Amen. Amen. Good. Burn it up. Amen. There you go. Amen. All right, go ahead and get your Bible out. I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55. I want you to stand as we honor the reading of God's word. We're just going to read a couple of verses. We'll get started this morning. Isaiah chapter 55. I want to call your attention there to verse number 8. And then we'll read verse number 9. Now, I used this text a few years ago with a message, but I'm going different, in a different direction this morning. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 8. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The title of my message this morning is God's View. And the very first thing that we learn from this passage this morning is that God's view is very different than man's view. Our text tells us that God is thinking very differently than we are. The Bible says this: thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And I believe this sermon will be easy to understand, but the simplistic truth, our theme of this message, is profoundly important to every man or woman here today. You better understand something. You better understand right now. The way God's looking at something is not the way we as men and women look at it. And if you don't get a hold of that this morning, you're going to have some messed up views about God and about what's right, about what's wrong, and about how to handle things, tragedies and adversities in your life, and all this pressure on us to conform to the world. And I'm jumping a little bit ahead of myself, and I'll repeat it here again in a moment. But the only way you find out halfway about how God's looking at it is in His book. And if you don't have reference to that Bible, you can't find out how He's looking at it. And if you don't look at things how God's looking at it, you and I are looking at it wrong. And I don't care if you looked at it that way for the last 50 years. You understand? Sort of a somber spirit, quiet spirit in here today. I reckon that may be the way it needs to go. I want you to make sure you stay with me and pray for me. Brother Peeler, would you pray for the message this morning? Then everybody can be seated.
Father, as we come to you this morning, we pray for the message. We pray for the man that's given us the message.
Yes,
the
God, help
me. Pray for him. We pray for his family, his son. Father, we pray for the church that will be attentive and listen.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we pray that our hearts would open up to the word this morning.
Please. Yes, Lord.
And Father, we pray now as we break the bread of life that we would be receptive. If there's someone here this morning that's lost,
may God do it.
We pray that they would come to know Jesus as their personal Savior.
Yes.
Now, Lord, be with us. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Lord, just help us that the Holy Spirit have His way this morning.
Yes.
And convict the hearts of those. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. So here's my sermon in a nutshell. God doesn't look at things like a man, and the sooner you figure that out, the better off you will be, both mentally and spiritually. Did you hear me? God doesn't look at things like you and I do, and the sooner and quicker you figure that out, the better off you'll be. Better, you'll be better mentally and spiritually better for it. God wants us to look at things like He does, but the truth is we don't. We naturally do not look at things like God does. We are incapable of doing so with our finite and wicked and depraved mind. There is only one source of information in the world that shows us how God's view is different than man's view and what man's view must be concerning the important subjects of life. And that source of information is your King James Bible. But you need to understand that God is not looking at things like we are. And it's very important that we get in God's book and see how He's looking at things. We get a biblical worldview. And for those things which happen in our lives that maybe we do not have a particular verse to reference, we must always remember that our view is skewed. Maybe you can't find a particular verse to fit your subject, but look at the overall teaching of the Bible. Listen, we are prone to think wrong. We are prone to think unrighteously. We are prone to come to the wrong conclusions. And you got to understand that the way you and I are looking at things many times, God's not looking at it that same way. This will help you cope with many things that come along in your life that you don't understand. Now, coping and sharing, I know that's the words all these people are using nowadays. And I hate to use a word like that, but let's say just say handle it. You don't get it. What I'm trying to tell you, you don't want to get a distorted view of God. You want to get to thinking, well, God done me wrong. God didn't do me fair. God mishandled this thing. God wasn't right in it. Now, you know what leads you to saying that? Two things. Number one, you thinking that the way you're looking at it is right when it's not because you don't have the mind of God. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. Number two, you looking at a situation that goes on in the world or in your life or what you're facing, but you don't look at it through the eyes of the Word of God. You don't have a biblical reference to it. So the only conclusion you can come to when something like that happens is this ain't right. God didn't do right. This whole thing's not right because you don't get God's view. Again, I'm going to keep drilling this over and over and over into your head this morning. The way God's looking at thing and the way man's looking at thing is two different ways. Now, which one of them's right? I'm going to make it more personal. I said the way you're looking at things this morning, the way you're looking at things, and you back there and you up here and the old fat preacher up here in the pulpit, the way we're looking at things this morning is one way and God's looking at it another. Now, which one of us is right? You reckon God's right? I believe He is. I know He is. He's always right. He's always just. So I want to look at God's view examined this morning, God's view explained this morning, and God's view exhorted this morning. First of all, I want to look at God's view examined. I want us to look at some areas in which God looks at things very differently than mankind does. First of all, this is how God looks at it. Get this in your mind now. The greatest leader is the greatest servant. That's not how men look at it, but that's how God looks at it. Matthew 23:11, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Matthew 20:16, so the last shall be first and the first last, for many be called but few chosen. Listen, if you want to be a great leader in God's eyes, you got to be a great servant. Now in this computer, YouTube, internet age, that's thrown out the window. Got these brave crusaders for Christ, ain't even 25 years old, ain't never put no blood, sweat, or tears into nothing. They never worked. They're brave behind a computer, brave behind a keyboard. They don't know nothing about the ministry. And then they get all these likes and shares on their Facebook and all these clicks on their YouTube channel. They ain't worth the gunpowder it take to blow them up. It's a bunch of pitiful mess is what it is. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You ain't got no business God giving you anything if you can't be faithful in the small things. Do you know who's going to be the best leader? The fellow that's the best servant. The fellow that starts at the bottom. The fellow that works his way up as God sees for him to work his way up. The fellow that does the small things. People get these young boys now get out of Bible college and think they know everything. You might know the Bible pretty good, but you ain't got any wisdom. You don't have any experience. But I got YouTube. You sure do. You got about 5,000 idiots like you following you. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you another way God's view examined. It's very different. The greatest leader is the greatest servant. The first are going to be last. The last are going to be first. But the first is often the last. Look here. Listen to me. We say that the one with the best grades graduates at the top of the class, which is true. Now, I wasn't him. People say, I graduated summa cum laude. I said, I graduated, thank you, laude. My sisters, both of them made good grades. My oldest sister, she was not the valedictorian, the salutatorian. She was the second in her class. I was way down there in the bottom portion, man. I really don't know where I was in my class. But you know what we say? We say the fellow that's got the best GPA, he's the valedictorian. The one who does the best job gets promoted. The one who is the prettiest gal wins the beauty pageant. The one who's the best player doesn't sit on the bench. He gets put in the game. The one who crosses the finish line first wins the race. Listen to me. Not with God. Not with God. Not with God. He's not looking at it like a man. Man sees results. God sees the heart. Man sees results and God sees the heart. God sees the bigger picture. Listen, the best isn't necessarily the best in God's eyes. In God's eyes, he's liable to take the best and sit them on the bench and say, you're not getting in the game. I'm going to play old so-and-so over here. Why are you going to play him? He can't stop a ball. He can't hit a ball. I don't care. I'm not looking at his skills. I'm looking at his heart. He gets to play. You sit on the bench. Now, the sooner some of you learn that in the Christian life, the more God can do something with you. God's not looking at it like we as human beings are looking at it. He sees something that human beings can't see. He sees a man's heart. That means a lot to him. Listen, listen. God is not just interested in what you do. He's interested in why you're doing it. Motive means something to God. Not just what you're doing. Why are you doing it? Well, I do this, I do that, and I don't do this, I don't do that, and I'm ultra separated. I'm just okay. Why are you doing it? You're doing it to be self-righteous, doing it to be bragged upon, doing it for personal gain, or are you doing it because you love the Lord Jesus Christ? With God, God's view examined, the heart is more important than successes or failures. Listen, God called you to be faithful. He didn't call you to be successful. God called you and I to be faithful, not successful. David is a great example. Samuel and Jesse both had the wrong view about him. And notice what he says there when Samuel goes to Jesse's house and he's going to try to find someone to replace Saul, and he's going to wind up anointing David, and they're sending people through there, and they think they got the right one. 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. Why does he refuse him? Look, notice this goes along with our message this morning. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. You understand that? You know what my view is here today? My view is I look at Miss Darby and I say, boy, she's pretty on the outside. We don't know what's going on the inside. Maybe she's been fussing at me all morning. Maybe she's mad. Maybe she. What do you church think? You're a hard crowd today, man. What is going on in here? Man, it's real tight in here. I don't have much liberty. What's going on? Everybody okay? Everybody all right? Just pray for me, man, or let it go or something. I don't know. Rough up in here this morning. Amen. When it comes to sin, God's view is not man's view. Fella says, well, lying ain't that bad. You know, it's all right to rob the rich and give to the poor like Robin Hood. As long as I'm not hurting anybody, what is wrong if we both desire an open relationship? I tell you what's wrong. You got to get God's view. Before I got right with the Lord, I had some pretty liberal views as a teenager coming up. I just pretty much had a selfish thought. I thought, you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. Live your life the way you want to, and I'll live mine. And I thought, hey, that ain't what I like. That ain't what I want to do. But if you want to do it, help yourself. I was pretty liberal about stuff. Just go do your own thing, man. You know what the problem with that was? That's my view. That's man's view. That's the way a man looks at things. You say, how does God look at it? God looks at it and he says it's wrong. And I don't care if you think it's wrong or not. Don't care if people in your family are guilty of it, or your best friend or your wife or you. I said it's wrong. And I don't care how you feel about it. You ought to say it's wrong. And I'm against it and you ought to be against it. I'm for it. You ought to be for it. You got to get his view on it. And if you don't get his view, you'll be messed up. When it comes to heaven and hell, you got to get God's view. Do you realize a wicked man can be forgiven and go to heaven? And a good man can die in his sins and go to hell? I know there's none good and there's none good. The Bible says, no, not one, when it comes to salvation. But you know what I'm talking about. I can show you, if you mean to tell me, preacher, you're saying that a fella can be over here and he's an adulterer and a dope smoker and he's beating his wife and he's drinking, he's a drunkard and all that, and that fella can come to Jesus Christ and get forgiveness and go to heaven, and there's a fella over here, he's never stolen anything, he's never been unfaithful to his wife, he's always paid his bills on time, he's got a good testimony in the community, and you mean to tell me that that fella right there can go to hell and this fella over here can go to heaven? That's exactly what I'm telling you. So that's God's view. God's view is none of us are righteous. God's view is the only righteousness that can get you up there with me is my son. And if you get his son, you get his righteousness. You get anything else, you wind up in hell. You don't go to heaven when you die. Now you see, you got to understand that. When I say stuff like that, a lot of people balk at it. I don't like it. I can't believe, you mean to tell me a fella can live that wicked 40 years and this fella over here can live righteous 50 years and this fella that lived right goes to hell and the fella that didn't live right just because he trusted Christ, so you say, he goes to heaven. That's exactly what I'm telling you, and you'd be in the same boat. That's exactly what I'm telling you. But if you don't get God's view on it, just people wind up going to hell and they think God's done wrong. Listen, you got to get God's view on tragedies and suffering and death. You know, God will take good people and leave wicked people. Now, I don't understand that. I don't understand for the life of me why he does that. We've had some good preachers, and I think about Brother Ted Hines right now that's on the ventilator and sick and not looking good. And I'm like, well, why don't Olstein get the COVID? Why don't Joyce Myers get it? Why don't Benny Hinn get it? Bunch of crooks, bunch of fakers, ripping folks off. Now, see, the way I look at it, if anybody deserves to die, they ought to. But God's got some information you and I don't. He understands it. You know what he says? He says, listen, my ways are not your ways. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. They're past finding out. But he knows something we don't. I'm not foolish enough to stand up here and say that I ain't going to be the next preacher to go with it. But if I go with it, you better understand one thing. God didn't make a mistake. Well, you believe the Bible and you're trying to preach and you're trying to teach and you're trying to do right and you're one of the preachers left nowadays. Okay, all right. He doeth all things well. If he lets me get the COVID and die, there's some reason for it. And he'd be right. Don't come by my coffin one day and say, I don't know, why did God take him? Why did God take him? Why did God take him? Don't do that. God knew what he was doing. He was right. You don't know why God would take a fellow. I think sometimes he takes some people to get them out of this mess. I think sometimes he takes them out of this, some people out of this world, because he don't want them to see where this thing's going. It's going down, 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 down. I think he takes them out because he loves them. He cares about them. He wants to get them out of this misery. I think he's a long-suffering God. I think he's a merciful God. I think he leaves Oil Steam, and he leaves Myers, and he leaves Benny Hinn and Kenneth Copeland. He leaves all them jokers around because he's long-suffering and he's merciful, and this is all they ever got. They need to keep flying that jet around. They need to keep suckering all that money out of the people. They need to keep doing that, because when they die, they've got it all they're going to ever get. They're going to be burned up in hell. That's God's view examined. What about God's view explained? Now, his view cannot completely be explained, because his ways are past finding out. Amen, church? However, the scripture can give us some insight into why he looks at things so differently than we do. Three of them. I'll give you three of them real quickly. Number one, he is perfect holiness. God is perfect holiness. We are not. That is why things bother him that don't bother you and I. You say, well, I never tell a fellow to go over there and stone his child for picking up sticks on Saturday. God would. I never put a fellow in hell forever. God would. I would never say, you know, good night, man. It wasn't like you was that a bad person. You never killed anybody. You never run around on your wife. You paid your bills. All you did was just not believe on Christ. I wouldn't make you burn forever. God would. He'd burn you forever. Do you know why? Do you know why he would do that? Because he's perfect holiness, and you and I are not perfect holiness, and we cannot begin to understand God. 1 Samuel 12:2, there is none holy as the Lord. He is the holiest. I know some of you may think you're pretty holy. About the only thing holy on me is my holy socks. And my wife's after me to throw away. Man, when your socks and your drawers get hole in them, they're just getting ready. They're just getting right, man. I can't understand why you throw your drawers and your socks away just because they got holes in them. You must think you're better than me or something. Amen. God's perfect holiness. Listen. Do you know why me and you would never, God's a God of love and I would never do that? I know you would never do that because you're not perfect holiness. You cannot begin to see things like God sees them. Number two, he has a perfect picture. He has a panoramic view. He sees what you and I cannot see, and he sees the future. Psalm 147, verse number 5 says, his understanding is infinite. There's no boundary to God's understanding. It just grows and grows and grows and eternally grows. And as the future continues to be out there, and time and space and matter and all, I'll let y'all, all you folks that are into that kind of stuff, figure that all out. In the fourth dimension, and I ain't even fooling with that stuff. I just know this: God is eternal. He's outside of time. And he sees things in the past, in the present, in the future. He gets an all panoramic view. Listen, God has a view that you don't have. Now, I don't understand that, but I do understand it a little bit, and let me tell you how I do understand it. As a pastor, from time to time over the years, people have called me or texted me or wanted to have a visit with me in my office about a decision I made in the church, about, well, why didn't you stop this, and why did you let this go, and why did you address this, and why didn't you address that? And I just think Brother Dennis he's being neglectful, and he's not on top of it, and all that kind of stuff. And invariably, not always, but about 75 to 80% of the time, listen to me, when that stuff goes on and people's question decisions I'm making, there's always information they're not privy to. I know some things about the families involved that you don't know. I know some things about the situation that you don't know. There's a reason I haven't jumped on it yet. There's a reason I'm backing off of it. There's a reason. See, you're not privy to the information. I have knowledge based on personal counseling and private interaction. That's none of your business. It's private. I wouldn't tell you. It's not none of your business. And I'm making some of these decisions on what to do and what not to do, whether to be reactive or not reactive at all, based on information you don't have. But you know what good Baptists do? They run their mouth and they murmur and complain, but you don't have all the evidence. And many times I'm making decisions based on evidence that church people don't have. Now, how do you reckon? I'm just a little small peon country preacher. How do you reckon that applies with God? All the evidence, all the knowledge, everything he sees that we don't see, we don't understand, we don't comprehend. I'm just talking to you about my struggles within a little local church. How do you reckon our God feels when millions of his children are always complaining and murmuring and he's saying, I know, but there's something you don't understand about it. There's something you don't see about it. You don't have a panoramic view like I do. And you can't possibly come up with the same conclusion I have. So what have you got to do? You got to learn to trust him, don't you? Got to learn to trust him. And he has perfect knowledge. He has perfect knowledge of future events, consequences, choices that men are going to make about the governments, the heart, the mind, the future influence of someone, whether it's going to be good or bad. 1 John 3:20 says, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. How many of you believe God knows all things? How many of you believe that you don't? So that's God's view explained. Why is his view so different than us? He's perfect holiness. We're not. He's got a perfect picture. We don't. He's got perfect knowledge. We don't. Now, one more point. God's view exhorted. You got to look at things like God does, and you must trust that he is looking at things with the right view. You know what the testimony is about God over there in Mark chapter 7, verse number 37? He hath done all things well. God's never missed it. If you don't share his view, you will have a distorted view of God. You know what you'll do? And again, I'm going to address this. I mentioned a while ago, you'll have a raw, you feel like God gave you a raw deal. You'll feel like he's treated you unfairly. You'll never come to terms with disappointment, tragedy, and loss. And you'll never be the God that he wants you to be. Now listen, this is an important subpoint because this church has been through it. We have lost so many good people out of this church. And I'm not just talking about the COVID. They were dying. We've lost more that had nothing to do with COVID than we have with COVID. Do you realize from the time I've been here a little over 4 years now, you go back and you think of all the people that we've lost since I've been here, and you begin to lose some of them, a few of them before I got here, but within the year or so before I got here. Remember that? Some of you can. And the thing that bothers me is God's taking the good ones. He's taking the good ones. He said, I don't understand that. I don't either. You know why? His ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. They are past finding out. I don't know why he does what he does. And you know what? He's not going to tell me. And it's none of my business. God's not going to sit down with me in the chair up here one day when service is over and say, okay, now I'm going to tell you, I'm going to explain all this to you. I'm going to go, okay, God, I got the pen and the pad. Go for it. He's not going to do it. Because he wants us to get to a place that we call trust. Trust. You have to be able not to understand it all, but go on and walk with him. Now, here's what you got to do to get God's view, and I'm getting ready to close this morning. Number one, you have no hope of getting God's view if you ain't saved. And that's pretty plain. The Bible says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. So you have no hope of getting God's view unless you get saved and get his Holy Spirit living within you. Number two, you've got to get in the book. You've got to get in the Bible. You can't adopt his views if you don't know his views. And then you got to get the mind of Christ. You say, I want to sort of halfway look at things like God looks at it. I want to have a mind like God. Well, you got to have the mind of Christ. Now, positionally, when you get saved and you experience spiritual circumcision, you do have the mind of Christ, but practically a lot of times we don't. We're walking in the flesh. You get that mind of Christ by renewing your mind and by being filled with the Spirit. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You got to look at, try to have the mind of Christ and look at things the way that God does. And you can't do that if you're not saved. You can't do that if you're not in His book. And you can't do that if you're not having your mind renewed and being led by the Spirit. You're not going to think like He does. Listen, folks, we ought to be against what God is against. We ought to be for what He's for. We ought to be able to get in that Bible and try to halfway have the mind of Christ and His view on some things. But there are some things that we're not going to understand. But listen to me this morning. This is the one thing that all of us can understand. He's not looking at it like you are. And the decision you're going to have to make is, okay, we know God ain't looking at it like we are. All right, I accept that. I accept it. God ain't looking at the thing like I am. Who's right? Is God right? Has He ever made a mistake? Then you know what that tells me? I'm the one that's wrong. The way I'm looking at it's wrong. I'm wrong to be feeling that God done me wrong. I'm wrong to be feeling that He gave me a raw deal. I'm wrong to be feeling that He did the wrong thing in this situation. This is an easy message to understand. It's not difficult to preach. I'm not giving you no deep doctrine. It's just hard to live by. You know why? We want answers. You're not going to get them. I've heard folks say, well, when I get to heaven one day, I tell you, the first thing I'm going to do when I walk through the pearly gates, I'm going to go right up to Jesus and I'm going to say, Jesus, when you did so and so, no, you're not. No, you're not. You're going to bury your face, first of all. You ain't going to do some kind of breakdancing move in front of Jesus and go, hey, I'm glad to be here. And you're going to bow your face. Cover your eyes. But when you get to heaven, you're not even going to worry about all that stuff. You ain't going to be going up there asking, why'd you do this? Why didn't you do that? Why didn't you intervene? Why'd you let that happen? You won't even care in the presence of the Savior. Won't even matter to you. You know why it matters right now? Because you don't have the perfect mind of Christ. Well, hallelujah, one day we're going to have a body fashioned after His. I'm going to look at things perfectly like He does. We make a terrible mistake when we suppose that God is on our side or agrees with us about something without any biblical evidence to prove so. And God says that Psalm 50:21, it says, these things hast thou done, and I kept silence, talking about the Lord. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself. He said, the mistake that you made is you started thinking of me like a man. Do you know the big mistake that we make is we start thinking that God may be thinking like us or looking at things like us or doing things like us, and because this is how we feel and this is how we look at it and this is what we would do, but that ain't what God would do, and that's not how God feels and that's not how God looks at it. And if you don't get that in your mind and in your heart today, you're going to walk right out of them doors today just as frustrated as you were when you came in. He's not looking at it like you are. And He's not going to look at it like you do. You can hang it up. You know why? You know why? I'm going to tell you something. This is going to sting. Because all of us, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're 100% wrong. He's 100% right. He did the right thing, and us thinking He ought to did this is wrong. And if we would have done that rather than what He did, we would have done the wrong thing. And until you come to terms with that, you're not going to have no peace in your life. Do you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to realize that, okay, Lord, I'm going to die one day, and I'm not going to have all the information. You're not going to show me these things. You're not going to say, why did you allow me to go through this? Why did you do this? Why didn't you do that? You're going to die one day with all that going on. And you're going to go to the grave and you're not going to have the answers. Well, if God would just show me, if God would just tell me, if God, you're not going to do it. I remember when my daddy was in the dying process and me and my sisters were sitting around, and I'm not going to go into detail, but it's private, but there was just some closure that I wanted about some things. And as my dad began to get closer to death, I realized I wasn't going to get it. And I remember a conversation I had with my sisters, and I said, I know what you're looking for. I know what I'm looking for. And I said, you need to be prepared that daddy's going to die. And daddy's going to die, and you're not going to get the answers. You're not going to get the conversation that you're wanting. Believe me, I want that same conversation, but you're not going to get it. Just ain't going to happen. My daddy's dead and gone. In just a few days, it'll be 3 years. Now, what am I going to do? I wish he would have talked to me. I wish he would answer some questions. No. I'm supposed to be trusting the Lord with this stuff. It doesn't matter if I have all the information or not. God has it. But if you're not satisfied with that, you're going to be a frustrated, upset person. You're never going to be able to move on in your life. Well, if I would have just known why, No, you ain't going to know, and he ain't going to tell you. Now, I'm not trying for this to be a negative message, but I reckon in somewhat it's going to turn out to be that way. He's not going to tell you. I bet you, I don't know, I ain't taught nobody, but I bet you with a crowd this size here this morning, somebody's sitting here this morning, and you're having a hard time going on because you're waiting for an answer about something, and I'm here to tell you, maybe the Lord's put it in my heart to tell you he ain't going to answer it. He's not going to tell you. He's not going to give you an answer. Now, will you go on and love him and trust him anyway? Will you go on and love him and trust him anyway? Although he's telling you, maybe he's telling you this morning, I'm not answering that. You're never going to know. You got to go on anyway. You got to realize that my view is the right view. He's got the perfect view. And of everything that goes on in our life and in our heart. And listen. Get in God's book. Trust the Lord. And just remember, you're never going to amount to nothing for God if you're going to stay frustrated, discouraged, and disappointed if you don't get a hold of this morning. Got to trust him. We got to trust his view even though we don't understand it and at times may not agree with it. If you don't look at yourself through the eyes of God and you don't look at yourself through the eyes of God's word, and you're never going to have the right view of yourself or God. And if that be the case, listen to me this morning, church. If that be the case, your walk with God is never going to flourish. And you're going to be limited in how he ever uses you. God's not looking at things like you are. And you better get a hold of that this morning. All right, every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. And even now, if God is dealing with somebody and you need to come, you come on.